I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you know, it's possible to be somewhat healthy in one area of life while neglecting other areas of life, but it's not possible to actually be really healthy and to thrive and flourish in life if you're not addressing these three areas of your life, all of them, emotional, physical, and spiritual. I remember back when I worked in the fitness industry for so many years, and I met so many people who could look like they stepped off the cover of a fitness magazine, but, you know, a closer look would reveal how unsustainable their program was. They lived on supplements and hardly ate any food. They made an idol out of their bodies and they left their relationships in shambles. I met one person after another like this, where all of their eggs were in one basket. How do I look from a fitness perspective? They were often driven by insecurity or pride. Well, you know, this is just not a sustainable way to live. And I think because some people go to that extreme, oftentimes Christians will go to the other extreme, going, I don't want to make an idol out of my body. So I'm going to neglect it altogether. But you know, if you listen often enough, I care deeply, profoundly about health and the healing process. Because if you neglect your health, you're going to put energy into trying to recover your health. Either way, you're going to put time and money into your health. But why? How much better to invest in a healthy life so that you can feel your best and be your best as you show up to do all God has called you to. Now, just a caveat, this isn't to say that every healthy, fit person idolizes their body, but it is to say there's so much more to health than meets the eye. Well, Dr. Mark Sherwood joins me today. We're going to explore a proactive approach to sustainable health, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. If you listen often enough, you know that this whole process is super important to me as someone who, on one hand, I worked in the fitness industry for a lot of years, but on the other, I have battled chronic health stuff for so long. And right now, currently behind the scenes, I'm battling two Lyme co-infections that there's certain days it's like they're kicking me, kicking my rump, and other days I'm kicking theirs, you know, but it's a back and forth, and I'm just so determined to see full health and healing. But as I've done that and been honest about it, I've heard from so many of you who have different things that ail you. And so together, we're just going to do what we can and then ask God to do what only He can. We'll get Dr. Mark on in just a moment. A quick announcement. My dear colleague and friend Carmen LeBurge, she's our morning show host, is doing a live stream event this Sunday night on the power of kindness. And as we love to do with these live events, we're giving away some really fun, inspirational gifts. Wait till the end of the week. You'll see a link up on our website, myfaithradio.com, to click in and watch it either on YouTube or Facebook. But it'll be an interactive show and you'll love it. And Carmen is always great. So check that out. Mark your calendars for this Sunday. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Mark is a trained neuropathic doctor. He and his wife, Michelle, she's also a doctor, they use an integrated approach that focuses on prevention and lifelong wellness. They have a thriving medical practice, the Functional Medical Institute, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They are recognized health experts in health and wellness. And Dr. Mark, I was on your show. Now you're on my show. Good to have you.
Thank you, Susie. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you so much and what you do.
Oh, thank you, sir. And you know this, we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a passage you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
Yeah, it's in one of my favorite books of the Bible, Mark. I think a lot of people get that bad joke, but the idea is it's Mark 14, 32-39. And the interesting thing about this is a story that people have heard many times about Jesus going to Gethsemane to pray after the final meal as it is. And I'll just summarize it very quickly because I want to get to one point of it that's been on my heart a lot is when Jesus goes in the garden, you know, now he's got his 11 people there, right? Because one has betrayed him. Judas is gone, and he basically sits 8 people in one spot, and then he goes a little farther, Peter, James, and John, and sits them down and says, you guys stay here and keep watching. He says that in Mark 14, 34. But in 35, there are 4 words that I want people to catch in here and really track with it. Going a little further. Going a little further, Jesus goes to prays the ground, and he's just absolutely asking the Father to take this cup from him. And we know the story after that. He goes back and checks on those 3 guys, and they're sleeping. what was it in Jesus that enabled him to go a little farther? And it's bothered me a lot all these years, and I finally considered the realization and revelation of what that was. It was that he had obviously all of God in him, and the disciples that were with him didn't, and they went as far as they could, but thank God that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave so that he could go a little bit farther. And he gives us the very power that he had to go all the way so we can be mission-oriented. And there's no excuses. And we don't have to live 80% in life, Susie. We can go 100% and have confidence that we can do exactly, walk exactly, and be exactly as he was and as he is in this earth today. So that's been something that's been on my heart, and something we've been kind of chewing on and pondering on. And it's motivating to me, knowing that I have in me, you have in you, we have in us everything of God. And that's something that just fires me up all the way, if you get what I drift.
So good. So I totally do. So good. And this is why I asked that question. You know, Dr. Marcus, you're talking, I'm thinking of someone else who lived like that, and it was Paul. You know, he said, I'm not like a boxer who misses the punches. I've basically put it all on the field. I've run the race to win. And there's something to be said about purpose in every step, throwing off things that hinder and the sin. So some things aren't sin, but if you're honest, they slow you down. And I just think the most fulfilled Christians are those who are doing just that.
I agree with you. A lot of times these things I call these devilish distractions will get in our way, and we pay too much attention to those things, and we need to be like laser focused. And even the passage I referred to in Mark, you know, Jesus was so laser focused. I mean, we've all seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, where the devil character is and is tormenting him to his face, you know. And this is the most challenging, I think, story in the Gospels of when you don't want to go on, when you're just not into it emotionally, but you say these words, these eight words, which are key, yet not my will, but yours be done. And that is just so powerful. And it gives us this confidence that nothing, no distraction is too much. And if that encourages anybody today, you know, that are listening right now, that is the major win right there.
Oh, amen. Well, you've got a real passion. In fact, I drew in prep for this from your book, The Quest for Wellness, a subtitle, Practical and Personal Wellness Plan for Optimum Health, Your Mind, Body, Emotions, and Spirit. So let's talk about emotional, physical, spiritual health. Give us kind of a 30,000-foot view. You heard my open. You know, I don't know who said it first, but almost anybody can succeed in one area of life at the expense of others, but not for very long. So let's talk about a comprehensive approach.
Well, when you look at an approach like that, you know, the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual, I mean, we have to look at these all as one. I mean, that is the encompassing, Susie, of all of our lives. And many times, as you said in the opening, we put perhaps too much emphasis on the physical. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on the spiritual, and we neglect one or the other, but it's a complete picture. If you're physically hurting and you're not physically well, that physical unwellness will become a distraction to your physical or your spiritual wellness. If you're not emotionally well, if you're struggling with things and those begin to take the focus, I promise you that will make you physically unwell, and you'll struggle with your spiritual wellness. And obviously, if we spend all times in our spiritual wellness and neglect our physical health, I mean, we're not going to be sound and we're not going to be whole. And I think the concept I'm trying to get at is whole equates with holistic, correlates with holy. And we can be all of those things. And that is really what we're supposed to represent, the epitome of God in the flesh while we're on this earth. And he doesn't want us to neglect any part of the gift of life that he's given us. I mean, our bodies, these are our temples, yes. They're our business cards. They're the representation. And we need to really, and I hope people can take this right, we need to represent by the way we look, act, smell, be, are, dress, you know, all that, something different, somebody different from a different kingdom, you know, just a different land with different rules. And it's something that we all can strive to do, but I find that we have to give attention to all those areas on a daily basis, on a continual basis, because if we don't, we sort of open the door for those devilish distractions that can begin to chip away at what we're supposed to do.
You know, sometimes I think we confuse denying ourselves with neglecting ourselves, but those are two very different things. You know, picking up your cross, denying yourself is much different than maybe a passive neglect of yourself. Maybe make the distinction for us.
Yeah, so, you know, the denying yourself is really, we don't need to look at that as a negative thing, poor, woe is me kind of concept, because we take that wrong. I mean, I'm talking about a concept of freedom. There is freedom in discipline. The greatest freedom you can have is knowing that wherever you go, it's going to be okay as long as you're following the mission and the road that God's put you on. And so when we use in that passage of Luke 9:23, you know, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. That's just purpose, man. I mean, that's purpose, the way we're supposed to live. And it means that we have the ability to walk through the fickleness of emotions sometimes. You know, like sometimes emotions can be a little bit odd. We can sometimes go, wow, I don't feel like doing that, but I should. We have to be able to walk past that. And just like Jesus did in the garden, you know, he went past the emotions to the purpose. And eventually the emotions match up with the purpose. So faith's got to lead. This is important. Faith's got to lead the way. Emotions will catch up. And that's the point behind all that, I believe.
Yeah, you know, and denying yourself, too, at times, it's preferring others in that, I mean, dying to your flesh, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think even the disciplines, we're buffeting our flesh at times. So denying ourselves is so that the kingdom can reign within us. And when we, as you say, our emotions or just our flesh desires want to rule, we say, no, you're not going to rule because, as you say, the purposes of God are going to rule and reign in me. We're going to pause here. When we come back, if you've got questions for Dr. Mark about health, emotional, physical, spiritual health, about a healthy diet, anything like that, text in 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. When we come back, Doc, I want to talk a bit about some of your core pillars for health, nutrition. This is physical health, nutrition, sleep, movement, stress management, hormones, genetics, and peptides. Can't wait to hear a little bit more about those last two, especially. All right, more with Dr. Mark Sherwood in a moment. Got to let that song play out. You know, you got to have some of these kinds of songs in your playlist. And then when you hear them, you got to get up and get moving, even if it's for just 4 or 5 minutes. Good for your heart, good for your soul. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Talking to Dr. Mark Sherwood today about just a practical plan to engage in a more healthy life, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and even intellectually. Welcome your questions. You can text them in 877-933-2484. And we're going to talk in just a moment about some of your core pillars for physical health. But this dear listener says, I have stage 4 lung cancer, doing great, but need to lose weight while eating healthy foods. Typically, I lose by cutting carbs, eating lots of meat, but it doesn't seem very healthy. Cannot wait to hear how to be healthy in these three areas. I love hearing you say, Sherry, that in spite of this cancer diagnosis, you're doing great. That, to me, shows such a fighter spirit right there. But what do you say, Dr. Mark?
Well, I agree. Mindset's everything, and I think that's the key thing that she's exhibiting. So, Sherry, great job with that, with your mindset. I commend you for that. Keep it going. Positive mind goes a long way towards healing the body. And when you look at the whole dietary concept, yes, we need meat, but we also need the necessary vitamins and minerals that are found in plants. And so this is very important to increase the amount of vegetables and fruits and to a level that becomes the dominant side. There's a lot of thought out there that, and everybody's cancer is different, so I don't want you to take this as direct advice, but take it as general information, that cancer will drive and thrive in an acidic environment. And many times the most acidic environment is one that has a lack of the alkalinizing vegetables and fruits. So it is wisdom to get more towards the ketogenic side of things, and I hope that word is not too confusing, but where the fat can become the primary driving source of energy in the body. And generally speaking, again, not taking this as medical advice, but generally speaking, that is a better environment for the immune system to be able to act appropriately and destroy the cells that are trying to become so dramatically metastasized and cause damage.
What are some what kind of veggies can it balance the pH and
Yeah, great question, because a lot of people wonder that. So You would look at anything that is growing above the ground from a plant. And if we kind of look at that, it's real simple. You know, if we just kind of keep greens and eat like the rainbow, if you will, those are going to be things that are going to bring real alkaline balance to our pH. And that's very important because from a standpoint of, you know, even loss of bone, you know, you get that acidic buildup and the bones will leach calcium and create this, try to rebalance that. And many times it can be fixed by just changing the diet to a more plant-based. I'm not saying, you know, we should eat a lot of things from the plant-based because there's some problems in there with some of the grains and wheats, probably corn and soy. But for the most part, just above ground, flowering sort of plants.
Very good. You know, I've read several documented cases over the years of, like, people who've received an incorrect diagnosis. Like, example, a terminal liver cancer diagnosis, given 3 months to live, and the person died 3 months later only to find out that the diagnosis was wrong. They had one little tiny spot on their liver. There's multiple cases like that, and they make the case. And these are secular scientific studies, but they're making the case in the science world, and how much more so for us in the faith world, that what you believe about your story and about your body is of utmost importance. Again, I just applaud Sherry for just the way she framed her question, but maybe speak a little bit more to that if you would.
Well, a lot of times, and this is conventional medicine, isn't it, Susie? We go in and we look for the answer to the question, what's wrong? And that's probably not the right direction to take. How about let's take one, what's right? Because when you're always looking for what's wrong, we're taught that I'm going to look for that diagnosis that gives me an excuse on why I am not feeling the best right now. So let's say, you know, we use the disease process called type 2 diabetes, and we say, well, you know, you have weight gain because you have type 2 diabetes or this, or you have heart disease because you have type 2 diabetes. And we begin to own that, you know, I have or I am. And that is a negative because it labels you, and you begin to use that as your acronym wherever you go. You know, I am diabetic. I am cardiovascular disease. And we need to understand, you know, not just who we are, but whose we are. And so that goes a long ways towards the way the body responds. The interesting thing about our cells and our body, they have these proteins that sort of sense the outer environment, and that's a fascinating process. They're called effector proteins, and they sense what's going on outside of us. So if we speak out negative things, you know, the world was created with the spoken word, and if we speak out negative things in our life all the time, the cells sense that, and they sense danger, and they go inside, and they take that signal from the outside world, they pull it inside the cells, and it's communicating danger. Danger, danger. And that is not going to be a positive environment for the healing that is normal, very key word, very normal for us to walk in. We should expect to go to a place, instead of finding out what's wrong, to be reminded about how magnificent and amazing the creation of the human body is. And in our practice, obviously, we're trying to remind people of that every day, and we don't, believe it or not, allow them to walk in those ownership diagnoses. We make them rephrase it. Instead of saying, in the example, I'm type 2 diabetic, we make them rephrase that and say, I live a life conducive with healthy blood sugar.
Because that is possible. You know, with type 2, you can overcome that. You can live a life conducive with healthy blood sugar.
Yes, no question. I mean, these a lot of our diseases we have these days that are, I call them the diseases of the culture of the modern you know, affluent society, and they are going to be things like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, autoimmune cancers, Alzheimer's, dementia, and osteoporosis. And frankly, a lot of those are lifestyle driven, and we can and should realize that and do something about it, and realize that, you know, you're not going to get support in that from the current culture. It's not going to happen. This is where you have to sort of trust God and say, man, help me with this. And he will, because that's his will, that you walk healthy. And because it's his will, he's going to give you the power to do that. So therefore, it's his willpower you're depending on and not your own. And that's a big relief to not have to worry about right there.
Amen. Nancy writes in, First of all, she says, yes, my identity is not my illness. Amen, Nancy. And then she says, is there something wrong with eating below the ground vegetables? My big joke is I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. But as I remember it, and I might be wrong, but I think the below the ground vegetables tend to be more toward, lend themselves towards inflammatory issues, right? Or no?
They do. And many times, and it's a great question, I use the above ground vegetables in the previous example to try to lose some fat tissue that may be in excess in a person's frame. Fat tissue is not bad unless it's in excess. But for the general person, you know, the root vegetables or the below ground vegetables are not bad, with the exception perhaps of the white potato. Root vegetables, the ones that grow above the ground, are a little bit higher glycemic. And so because of that, Susie, they will create a little bit more blood sugar, a little bit more potential for insulin, a little bit more potential for either weight gain or weight gain maintenance. And so, but the white potato is the most readily consumed vegetable in the United States, and it's the most polluted. So I would probably stay away from that one and lean towards more of the sweet potatoes and obviously carrots and beets and those things. But overall,
and those are good for you, right?
They very much are. I mean, you know, anything that has color, you know, again, back to our rainbow, eat like that and you're probably going to be okay.
Very good. We just got a couple minutes before our break at the bottom, but this dear listener says, my question for Dr. Mark, do you know anything about colloidal silver? Is it a good way to boost immune system or is it useless? What do you think?
Yeah, colloidal silver is great. It has a very cool way of demagnetizing viruses. Now, don't take what I'm saying as a cure for viruses, please, but I do use colloidal silver. When I get on an airplane, I will spray it up my nose. I'll put it on my hands. You can spray it in your mouth. And it works wonderful towards sort of this potential preventive measure of our outside mucosal barriers. So use that. Highly regard it. Highly recommend it.
I use it as well. Just saying. I appreciate that so much. All right. I'm going to boy, this is one I'm going to read. I don't know. You'll have about 30 seconds to speak to it, and then we'll speak to it on the other side. Stefan says, I have a history of imagining that I have illnesses and pain that I do not actually have, even to the point of feeling imaginary pain and discomfort that are amplified by my anxiety. How can I stop this mind game? In fact, here we are close to the break, so I'm going to just pause here because I want you to really unpack it. But, Stefan, I just love that you wrote in, and I really believe God is going to set you free. And we're going to talk about maybe steps to take on the other side. We welcome more of your questions, friends. Text them in at 877-933-2484. Father, I lift up my dear brother, Stefan, or Stephen, however you pronounce his name. I thank you, God, that you can transform him by the renewing of his mind. I thank you that whatever weapon the enemy has tried to fashion against him, whatever scheme he has planned against him, is canceled now in Jesus' name. We just cover Stephen in our prayers. He's covered in the blood of Jesus. And I pray, God, for a supernatural gift of grace and wisdom about a pathway of your promises that he can stand on and put an end to this thing once and for all. Thank you that you have a plan to prosper him, not to harm him, to give him a hope and a future. In Jesus' name. We'll be back in a minute. My deep desires for you is to be able to quote with King David, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How well my soul knows it. I want you to be able to put your hand on your heart and say that with a smile on your face. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How well my soul knows it. Susie Larson here. And we're just so committed to seeing you healthy and whole, flourishing. And I just believe so strongly healing comes in layers. So if you listen often enough, I cover this topic with some regularity because we're all in this together. We're all moving forward together. Talking to Dr. Mark Sherwood, and I'm actually drawing from his book a little bit today, The Quest for Wellness, A Practical Personal Wellness Plan for Optimum Health in Your Mind, in Your Body, Mind, Emotions, and Spirit. We're taking questions as well. You can text those in, 877-933-2484. So I think it's Stephen, spelt like Stefan. Dr. Mark, he says, hi, Susie. I have a history of imagining that I have illness, pain that I do not actually have, even to the point of feeling imaginary pain and discomfort that are just amplified by my anxiety. How can I stop this mind game?
Well, I was thinking about that at the break, and I took four things down as a note. And Stephen, I want you to write these down right now, one at a time. First of all, and establish these. Number one is remember that the author of imagination and the author of fear is Satan himself. So you got to establish that. So we know those imaginations, those vain imaginations, are not from God. Number two, I want you to write out an affirmation about who you are. The affirmation that I speak in my life every day is in part this: thank you, God, that you made me into a great man, husband, father, son, and friend. You made me a great leader, influencer, and healer. I am focused, diligent, disciplined, and exemplary. I'm abounding in wisdom and overflowing with love. I hear your voice and follow your directions with a servant and warrior heart and mind. Now, that affirmation is true. And I'm going to say that thing, and I want you to write something down like that that's true about you, and God's going to give you direction on that. And then number three, I want you to say that out loud multiple times a day. Put it on your phone, set reminders, say it out loud. That will change the environment. And then number four, find a brother, find a friend, find someone close to you, share this with them, and have them check on you routinely and make sure that you're doing those things. So those four things are important, and Stephen, that will change your environment. And when it changes your environment, God's going to be all over that. And I promise you, trust in 1 John 4 with perfect love, casting out all fear. God does that. You don't have to do that. So just rest easy in that, my friend. And I'm telling you, your day of healing is right now.
Come on.
It starts right now. And I don't want you to doubt that, because you called in on the show, you wrote that in, and it was by God's direction you did that. So take these things, use them, and walk in your healing.
Give us those four one more time, if you would.
Yeah, first of all, number one, you want to write down where the anxiety and fear comes from. That comes from Satan. That's our enemy. And we have to establish that. If we don't see it, write it down and establish it, it becomes something we don't believe. Remember, you write it down, make it concrete. Number two, complete and make an affirmation statement. Everybody needs one of those. And it needs to be something that is God-breathed inside of you, I am statements, if you will. Number three, say it out loud multiple times. I set an alarm on my phone, and I'm going to say it out loud three times every day. And Susie, honestly, if I don't do that, I have a less than my best day. You know, I really do, because I didn't allow the creative forces of the spoken word to change things. And number four, find somebody to hold you accountable, not in the accountable in the negative way, to shame on you and criticize you and even shame you. It's not about that. The word accountability is you have an account that God gives you of greatness, and you have the ability to get that through his power. So have someone remind you of the greatness that is in you and the greatness you are.
Very good. This dear listener says, Susie and Dr. Mark, has he actually been diagnosed as imagining some type of idiopathic syndrome, or are these his own conclusions? There are various autoimmune conditions that cause those symptoms, often misdiagnosed or disregarded. Wow, what great, great point. What do you say, Doc?
Well, certainly if there's toxins in the brain can play tricks on you, because the mind, you know, even from the illusionary standpoint, we can imagine things because the mind is always running and always filled with something. If we don't have good serotonergic or serotonin and dopamine pathways that are going to try to balance out our moods, we can fall into a trap of negativity. So there's definitely some neurological issues to consider there. Vitamins and mineral deficiencies can create that. Again, lack of the ability to detoxify properly can deal with that as well. Just think overall brain inflammation that can contribute. So all things do matter. Yes, that's a good point.
So that might be good for them to do some kind of detox, possibly a detox program, maybe take some liver detox and other things to help their body process toxins.
Yes.
I mean, you have to do that carefully, I would imagine, under the care of a doctor, but yeah.
Well, I think that would be good as far as get some of the stuff out of the diet, first of all. That's where you got to start, because, you know, it's the diet that's not of the mouth, the diet of the mind, too. So you got to, like, pay attention to what you're putting in. And that's just the basic place to start. But many times that's the low-hanging fruit right there that causes so many positive things to happen.
Yeah. Wow. Now, again, Dr. Mark isn't here to diagnose. He's here to give, as he said, general information. You've got to talk to your doctor. Just it's really important. So this question is a little bit looking for an opinion, and I just want to qualify that as you. And you've been great so much, Dr. Mark, about just giving this, qualifying your answers as well. But this one says, my doctor said he found a nodule 6 millimeters on my lung in October. They just redid the CT and it hasn't changed, but now have 2 new ones, 3 millimeters each. He said nothing to worry about. I'm still concerned. I lost a dear friend last year to lung cancer. She never smoked, as I haven't. What's your opinion? My opinion get a second opinion, but go ahead, Dr.
Yeah,
Mark.
Maybe a third opinion on that.
Yeah.
honestly, you know, when you look at nodules in general, We tend to overreact. We really do. And yes, we need to be concerned. Yes, we need to be aware. But we don't need to overreact either. You know, what are nodules? There are many benign tissue nodules that can form in many, many areas of our body, and there's really nothing to them. The body can get rid of those things on their own. With that said, I would get another opinion. Obviously, you know, if someone were to look at a biopsy, that would be an option to look at. But again, there's multiple ways you could look at that. I think, you know, give it some time. The key thing I would say to that particular scenario is look for trends. Trends tell a bigger story than one look or one picture. So, you know, perhaps give it some time, you know, work on those nutritional things too that we talk about so much that we just mentioned, and then get another diagnostic imaging of that maybe in 2 or 3 months and just see what happened. And let's believe God that those things can go away.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for that. This listener says, wondering why the mind craves or finds pleasure in things like finding a deal or grabbing a cookie, especially when trying to deny oneself of something. When is denying unhealthy? Great question, Bill.
So, Bill, this is great because the mind creates, our brain does anyway, a chemical called dopamine. Dopamine is a reward chemical. It's something that we love to do. It's something that gives the runner's high. It gives the salespeople, the salesperson, the big deal high. We're always chasing that high. It's a high. Interesting thing about that is the dopamine pathway is also driven by cocaine. However, and this is a mind blower, the cocaine drive of dopamine is not as strong as the sugar drive of dopamine. So there's a craving there for that. Yeah, it's interesting. So we have to understand that craving there. And dopamine is not bad. It's not bad at all. But what happens is, and this is a spiritually deep answer to, if you think about it, Satan is always about throwing a substitute our way. He would like for you to crave that deal. He would like for you to crave that run. He would like for you to crave that cookie more than him. And so the greatest dopamine high you can have is just the pursuit of just being all you can be at God and seeing him work through you. That excites me. You know, that gives me a dopamine high to see lives change in front of my eyes. But we really need to understand that, you know, from one standpoint, there's nothing wrong with a cookie. It's not going to kill you. But if it becomes an addiction, and that's what we're talking about. There's addiction in food that is real, and it's really there. And this is why people have such a hard time. And it's not about willpower. It's really about chemical and physical addiction.
So that's worth thinking about. I think, you know, it's such a great question. When is denying unhealthy? You know, there, you read stories of some of the desert fathers who tried to add to the sufferings of Christ by injuring their own backs as they walked through the desert. You know, they're trying to add to the suffering. Whenever you're trying to buffet your body to be to add to what Jesus has already done, that's its own form of legalism. But on the flip side, as you say, when you're making so many accommodations, that you know that this thing has become central to your life, it's an idol. And it's just so much easier to get this stuff out of our lives before it latches onto us. I mean, to practice moderation, we should do a whole show, Mark, on self-control, because it's a lost virtue and a lost fruit, it seems, these days.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, and self-control should be, and it's funny, I was just talking about this morning with a friend. It was a pastor friend. He goes, how do you exhibit so much self-control? And I said this answer, and it's the same thing, and it must be meant to be. I said, well, I don't use self-control. I just acknowledge the author of self-control. The author of self-control is the character of the fruit of God in us. That's the Holy Spirit's life, self-control. And it's interesting because many times, you know, we talk about, you know, even like diets and all that. And I can eat anything I want. You know, I can. I'm not bound to anything. And that's the point of it all. You know, it's like if you want a cookie, eat a cookie. But if that cookie owns you, then that's the disconnect there. There's an issue there with that. And so I do think the thing, self-control, is undertaught. I think it's underappreciated. And I think it's very non-understood because we have within us the self-control of Christ without having to ask for it. Because we just have to acknowledge it. And that's a powerful thing right there that I hope the listeners, they really get a hold of. Thank God that you have self-control. Thank God that there's freedom in that. There's discipline in that. And that's like the most awesome thing to know that whatever comes your way, there's always a way out. Whatever comes your way is never going to overpower you, but God's power is going to overpower it.
Amen. Somebody give me an amen. You know, I will tell you, Doc, I've been teaching this for years, the self-control piece, saying every day, say no to your flesh and make your flesh deal with it in small ways. I mean, just if you're driving home from the grocery store and your habit is to open up the chips and eat them while you drive, just say, no, I'm not doing that right now. I mean, just little no's, I think, I just sort of activate you for the bigger no's when you need them. I don't know. It's definitely a fruit of the Spirit, but there's something about applying yourself to it that strengthens it within you, don't you think?
I do. I think it's these small little success steps, and I think I talk about that in the book, these little baby success steps that once you have a success going a direction, it builds confidence, and confidence builds assurance, and confidence is the thing that gets you more and more confident to go a little bit farther, a little bit more, a little bit more. And we must set little baby goals, Susie, and I hope the listeners catch this. When you're trying to bring changes to any part of your life, any part of your life, physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual, set baby goals that are so small you can't fail. In other words, you might say, okay, I'm going to read one verse of the Bible a day. I mean, it sounds crazy. I'm going to just thank God one time during the day. I'm going to walk around my block once a day or even to my mailbox or back, or I'm going to eat one salad a day. I don't care what else you do, but set those goals so you can feel good about them. And over time, by doing the right things, right breeds right, breeds right. And it becomes, guess what, contagious. And man, contagious like that builds hope, and hope is the substance of what we hang on to.
I'm going to pause here. That's so good. Every step towards health and healing makes a difference. So what if you did that? What if you made various, like, goals that were so small that you maybe laughed at them, but you're not doing those things. So what if you start doing those things? When we come back, this dear listener says she's listening from the Central Coast of California, would love prayer for 3PD. It's a dizziness condition, which she's been enduring for many years, but only recently diagnosed. Praying to Jesus for healing because she wants to live the rest of her life as best she can serving him. We're going to pray for you on the other side. A few more questions. And it is Stephen, not Stephen. I stand corrected. Thank you for that. More with Dr. Mark Sherwood when we return.
No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated.
That's the best news. Maybe somebody needed to hear that today. You know what? Maybe for one of you, guilt and shame of your past as recent as last week is causing your cells to shrivel up. You're in fight flight. You're kind of all tensed up. And you know what? When you go to Jesus and says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed, maybe the next steps for you to just come clean with the Lord and receive his forgiveness, confess your sin, receive his forgiveness, and then ask him to give you a fresh revelation of his love. I'm talking to Dr. Mark Sherwood. In fact, I'm going to ask you on live radio because we weren't not going to have a chance to ask you after the show ends. But if you have a few extra minutes to hang on, we would love to record some bonus content with you just since so many questions coming in. We haven't exactly been able to get to some of the emotional components we're talking about. Do you have a few extra minutes for us, Dr. Mark?
I do. Yes, ma'am,
okay,
of course.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Okay, so this dear listener, Kim, from California, she says She's just diagnosed with 3PD. It's a dizziness condition, but she's had it for years. Praying for healing. Wants to know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, when you're looking at any sort of dizziness condition, we're talking about, you know, equilibrium, of course. And obviously, you want to think about, you know, all causes of that. When you're thinking about, and by the way, people might wonder what that's called. It's persistent postural perceptual dizziness, known as 3PD. Can it be cured? You know, I think that it can be treatable if you get it early. I think look at it from all causes. You know, anxiety is a big deal that drives that. So back to what I said earlier, you want to look at B vitamins. You want to look at folate specifically. You want to look at anything that sort of calms down the anxiety system, bring serotonin in, perhaps amino acids like 5-hydroxytryptophan or 5-HTP. That would be very, very helpful. Maybe look at methylation. There is, you know, some medication out there that can help with balance and sort of recalibrate our vestibular systems. But, you know, that's something that you have to believe that God can heal too. I mean, we can do our mm-hmm. part, et cetera. But, Kim, I just believe that if we take a mindset approach now and believe that we're going to really walk in divine health and think vitamin C, too, by the way, is really good. So believe big. Believe God to give you insight and direction into a renewed mind, and your doctor's going to have wisdom to know which of those vitamins that I just said to go at, which test to run, and bring about a reduced switch to higher anxiety, which does contribute to the pathology of that extra balance issue.
You know, I have to say with the mold thing that I've dealt with, it affected the brain in a different way. But I did study the brain, and the brain is so fascinating. And there are workarounds. Now, I know with dizziness, it's way different. But still, I would imagine there's very simple balance exercises that recruit something in the brain. You know, maybe you're standing by a counter holding on. You just lift one foot up for a little bit. Your eyes are open. But little tiny things like that, I wonder if you're activating the need. Because our brains are just fascinating in their capacity to do workarounds, aren't they?
Well, they are. I think that the brain is something. There's a myth out there that says we only use 10% of our brain, and I think on one hand that's a terrible myth, but I think it's really something we need to understand, that our brains are capable of doing way more than we give them credit for. I think the 10% thing is probably just not using the whole brain correctly. But we can learn new things. The brain has new neural nets, ways to fire. The brain has this thing called plasticity that I think is fascinating. We're starting to understand that you're not born with your own intelligence that's just stuck. You can grow brain. You can grow neural nets. You can learn new things. The mind and the brain are unlimited. They're infinite in their ability to comprehend and learn and adapt. And I think that we've seen people with traumatic brain injuries before come around and begin to function normally. How's that? Only because we have the capacity inside of us. If we just would believe the Creator and teaching us more about that, I think the resiliency we have is more than magnificence. It's absolutely awesome to think about. So I agree with you.
You know, just I'm going to have you pray for Kim, but others as well. When you're talking earlier about owning your illness and owning what's wrong, I hear people joke all the time about their Alzheimer's, like being young, but saying my Alzheimer's is kicking in. And I just think be so careful with words like that, because when you're owning a diagnosis that can really mess with you, there's something that is something that's just, I think, devastating to the system. And I hope you don't hear me, friends, saying name it, claim it, that kind of thing. But I am saying, out of, you know, when your heart speaks out of your mouth, those kinds of things, they're not good for you. And I think the expectation then is that that's just going to be your path, because that was a parent's path. And I think what you're saying, Dr. Mark, is we serve a God of the breakthrough. So no matter what's been handed down to you, believe it, be not only in the goodness of God, but the fearful and wonderful way He's created our bodies to heal. That's a mouthful, but what do you say?
Well, certainly the body's amazing, and I agree with you. We've done a very poor job of, and we can, all of us can do a very poor job of not monitoring the mouth. You know, we catch those words at our teeth and keep keep our teeth at like the gate. I mean, I wish we could control our thoughts sometimes, but that's a challenge in itself. But when those thoughts become manifest in the words, that's when the problem begins to get worse and worse and worse. So, you know, I just encourage everyone to let go of shame and let go of these labels we put on ourselves and embrace perhaps a God size or a God label. And that's something that would be a life-changing moment that can occur right now for people.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you one more question. Actually, since I promised you were going to pray, let's pray for Kim, but all those who are struggling with health today. And if we have time, I'm going to ask you one more question. And friends, after the live show's over, I'm going to keep Dr. Mark on, and we're going to record some bonus content about the original topic. We just got so many questions, we needed to address those. But we're going to record some bonus content about emotional, physical, spiritual health, some tangible steps you can take. So if you don't subscribe to the podcast once the live show is over, you just got to, because we've got friends listening from all over the world to that wonderful podcast. And this is the only place, the podcast part is the only place you'll get bonus content. So if you pray for Kim and every person listening today who's battling health in some way.
Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to, first of all, acknowledge you and your presence, your magnificence. Mm-hmm. God, I thank you for all these people that are your children, God. Heal your children. Heal your children, Father God, for Stephen, for Kim, for all the people that have written in and wrote in, God. I pray you'll just bring about a realization of who you are in their life. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, fill them up with your presence. Let them understand you in a way that they never had before. Just let them understand your love. And that in your love is perfect healing, God. I thank you that Kim is not dizzy anymore. I thank you that Stephen is not hear those voices anymore of lies. I think that it's a fresh day. I think that people that have tried to change things on their own and live in shame, God, that they are walking in wholeness and healing right now and letting the shame go behind, that they drive their car looking in the forward window instead of in the rearview mirror, God. So I pray for a fresh vision on all these dear souls, God, that in the sound of my voice right now, God, I thank you that you are manifesting healing from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, to the tips of their fingers, all throughout their body, God, so that they have a story to tell the world about what you did. It's not about anything else other than you, God. So I pray you'll give us all a fresh perspective. I thank you for touching lives and showing off and showing out like you always do, so that we will see your light shining bright in this darkened world. So God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your work. We thank you for loving us the way we are and not leaving us where we are. And thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Father, I pray for Sherry. I pray that you'd end. You just put a stop to this stage 4 lung cancer. I pray that she would be completely healed, God, and that she would live out her days in health and fruitfulness, Lord God. You give her the desires of her heart. And for Carmen and for Janet and for Karen's daughter and for so many who battle, I pray, God, set them free beyond their wildest dreams, Lord God. You are the God who heals. You're the God who saves. And Father, there's just no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what you have in store for those who love you. And I know that means eternity, but I also really believe that we will see your goodness in the land of the living. So help us keep hoping and believing and marching forward. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this is so great. And we got a question about breaking an addiction to sugar. So we're going to ask that on the podcast, bonus podcast material. So friends, I pray with all my heart you found some encouragement here today. And don't forget the podcast, once the live show is over, it will go to podcast along with our bonus content, probably about the next hour and a half or so. And again, if this encourages you, send it to a friend as well. Share it with a friend. We're a listener-supported ministry. We couldn't do what we do without you. So thank you for standing with us as we seek to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth, to encourage and equip people to live out the life of faith God's called them to. You are his treasure. Absolutely. Never forget it. Keep hoping in God. He is who he says he is. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.